Now we come to chapter 13, and we've come to an altogether different section, and the tone changes immediately. From chapter 13 through 23, we have here certain burdens. In fact, burdens on nine surrounding nations. Now, burden is something that you bear, and it's the judgment of God upon these nations. Now, there are nine of these nations that are mentioned, and this, in many ways, is one of the most remarkable passages of Scripture, because most of it's already been fulfilled. It was prophetic when it was given, and it is now already fulfilled. It's a matter of history. Now, each one of these nations had some contact with Israel, and most of them were actually contiguous to her borders. That means they were near at hand. Their border touched on the border of Israel, or they were not very far away. And Israel suffered at the hands of some of them and will suffer again in the future, and by the way, is suffering today at the hand of some of these same nations. We're going to find some names here that are strangely familiar, of course, Egypt being one of them. Now, notice here, before I get to the text, let me say another thing by way of introduction. It is yet future for many of them, but the fact that some of it is fulfilled, and this is one of the great proofs that this is the Word of God, is fulfilled prophecy. Now, that makes these 11 chapters very important. And we're going to find out, we saw in the other section, that Assyria was the oppressor. But here, it's going to be another set of nations, by the way, headed up with Babylon. And the burden here is a judgment. And you could exchange the word burden here for judgment, and it'd be just as accurate. Now, actually, this section was not a section that made the prophet popular. The prophets did not enjoy delivering this type of a message. This was not the way to make friends and influence people. And a great many will say it's not the power of positive thinking either. But any bearer of bad news is not seeking a popularity contest at all to win in it. Now, the first burden here is against Babylon, the judgment of Babylon. We're talking now about the literal city of Babylon. And this is remarkable because in Isaiah's day, it was a very insignificant place. It was not until a century later that Babylon became a world power, and God pronounced judgment upon Babylon before it became even a great nation. And this section does not end with the burden, actually, on nine nations, but it extends through six woes in chapters 28 through 33, and then it concludes with the calm and the blessing after the storm. And again, we have a millennial picture in chapters 34 through 35. Now we have here, then, in this chapter, the punishment of Babylon in the day of the Lord. I believe this looks forward to the great tribulation period for its final fulfillment. And then you have here the destruction of Babylon in the day of man. Now the first one was verses 1 through 16, and this is verses 17 through 22. And here you have ancient history fulfilled, the great tribulation, and then ancient history fulfilled. Now will you notice, the first burden here is against Babylon, the judgment of Babylon. That's the way it opens. The judgment of Babylon, which Isaiah, the son of Amos, did see. Now, this city of Babylon here, it became one of the great cities of the ancient world. In fact, it is the first great world power, and so recognized by Daniel in the 7th chapter and also in the vision of the image. Daniel could say to Nebuchadnezzar, "Thou art the head of gold." The first great world power, and it was a great world power. Now, this future city Babylon is to be, actually, I should put it like this. It was future when this was given, but probably we ought to put it in our own time zone, and it would be that Babylon will be rebuilt, and yet it says it'll never be rebuilt. What do we mean? And Babylon also, we'll see it here, is a symbol of the united rebellion against God that began at the Tower of Babel, and it will end over there when we get to the 17th and 18th chapters of the book of Revelation. We'll see religious Babylon and political Babylon that rule the world in the great tribulation period will go down in a great judgment from God. Now, this is the first, probably the first mention of it in Scripture. He says in verse 3, I have commanded my sanctified ones, I've also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. Now, sanctified here does not quite mean what it means to us today. We've given it, shall I say, always a Christian connotation. It didn't have that always. All that the word means, that which is set apart for a specific purpose. And when it's set aside for a specific purpose, and it's God's purpose, then it is something that makes it very special. And all it means here is that God has raised up Babylon for a specific purpose. And the same thing that he did for Assyria. Assyria, God said, we saw it two or three chapters back, O Assyrian, rod of mine anger. God says, I'm going to use you to punish my people, and then I, in turn, will judge you. And that's the same thing about Babylon. What a remarkable thing that you have here. Now, we are told that anything can be sanctified if it's set apart for the use of God, or of God's creature. Verse 4 and 5 of 1 Timothy 4 reads, For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. How is it? Being set aside. And that's the reason that we should pray over our food. Thank God for it. That is set aside for the strengthening and nourishing of our body. Now, that food is no different than any other food, but it's now to be used for a special purpose, you see, and it's to be set aside with prayer. Now, we have here this nation of Babylon is set aside. God will use the Babylonians just as he did the Assyrians as instruments for punishing his people, and then God will judge them. Verse 4. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustered the hosts of the battle. And this makes clear, I think, that what we're talking about by the word sanctified, they're going to come down to accomplish God's purpose, and they'll take the southern kingdom of Judah into captivity. Now, verse 5, they come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Now, the Babylonians will be God's instrument. Now, he says, howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Now, this prophecy now looks beyond anything that's now history, and it's speaking of that day, the great tribulation. Therefore shall all hands be faint, every man's heart shall melt, they shall be afraid, pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them, they shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth, they'll be amazed one at another, their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord coming, cruel both of wrath and fierce anger. Now the great tribulation, when again this power will come in the last days, called Babylon here, and it is a power that will destroy these people, just as Babylon did in the past. Now, we have it identified with the Great Tribulation, verse 10. the stars of the heaven, the constellations thereof, shall not give light. Now you have that prophesied again by the Lord Jesus in Matthew 24:29, Revelation 8:12. I will punish the world for their evil. The world is coming up for judgment. You and I are living in a world today that's moving for judgment. And then he says, I'm going to make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. And the minute Christ died for you and me on the cross, that added value to us. It's a time of worldwide destruction these days will be. And no flesh would survive unless those days were shortened. But God will preserve a remnant to himself. Now he says, I'll stir up the Medes against them. Now, who are the Medes here? Well, the Medes under Gobryas are the ones that destroyed Babylon, by the way, the Medo-Persian Empire. Here the prophet goes to the immediate, you see. Verse 19, and Babylon, the glory of kingdoms. Now, that means that it was the greatest kingdom that's been on this earth. That is, a worldly kingdom. And there's been none, really, to compare to it. The Greco-Macedonian Empire was great. The Egyptian Empire was great. Roman Empire. And we think today that probably our nation and Great Britain at one time could have claimed to be a great nation. But I do not think that any could compare to the glory that was Babylon. God's word here calls it the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, all you have to do is look at the ruins of ancient Babylon to recognize that's happened. Here is a great city that was never built back. Now, other great cities were built back. That is true of Jerusalem especially, and it was true of many other great cities that came back. Rome was destroyed, but Rome was rebuilt also, and that has been true of others. The great cities in Germany that were bombed out, absolutely obliterated, they're back. I flew over Frankfurt, then flew out of the place, Frankfurt, Germany, and I want to tell you, that city was leveled, but it has risen out of the ashes, a great city. But Babylon has not arisen, and God said that it shall never be inhabited. But Babylon is to be rebuilt. And actually, this prophecy looks on to that Babylon. And Babylon represents confusion, and it will be the great commercial center, the great religious center, the great political center, the power center, the educational center of the world again. And this looks on to the time of judgment then, just as ancient Babylon went down. Babylon would not apt to be rebuilt where it is today, that is the ruins. It's about 14 miles from the Euphrates River, whereas the Euphrates River actually went right by it, and a canal from the river went right through the city. Now we read here, verse 20, it shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. Now why? Well, there's a superstition. Several of the men of the past who've excavated in Babylon say that they were never able to get the Arabians there, the Arab, to stay in the camp inside the ruins. They all went out and stayed outside. You say that's superstition. Sure it is, but that's what they did. And the interesting thing, God's word said that they wouldn't pitch their tent there even. Now, that's a very interesting prophecy. Verse 21 says, but wild beasts of the desert shall lie there. And they've found lions that make their home there, by the way. And their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs. And the word satyrs, demons, shall dance there. Now, if you want to go to a Dance of the Demons, that's where you ought to go. They have here in Southern California a Church of Satan. I see where a girl came out here to take a final course in becoming a witch. Well, this is the place to come, I would say. But a young fella that claims he belongs to that church. After a service, he was present out here. He came up and very vitriolic. He attacked me and he mentioned the fact that demons were real and he worshiped them. And I agreed with him. Demons are real, but he better be careful about worshiping them. And he said that they were about. And I said to him, have you ever danced with a demon? He looked at me in amazement, said, no. I said, well, I'll tell you where the dance hall is. It's over there in the ruins of Babylon. I said, why don't you go over there? Brother, if you're going to go halfway, go all the way. And may I say to you, I think this is quite accurate, by the way. And I've said it rather facetiously as I talked to that young fellow. But I think this is very accurate, and I can't go into that. Verse 22, and the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces, and her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. Now that looks forward to the destruction, actually, of the future Babylon that will be built here upon the earth. It will become the great center. I think the man of sin, the willful king, we call him Antichrist, will finally reign in that place.